Welcome to the service of worship at Providence Christian Church on the fifth Sunday of Lent. We are glad that you have joined us. Our sanctuary is empty as our members are staying healthy at home, but our hope is that the Holy Spirit will bind us together as a fellowship of believers as we join together in this service of worship. We encourage you to engage fully in worship through the readings and the hymns. A bulletin was sent to church members on Friday and is also available on the Facebook page. We encourage you to light a candle as a sign of God's presence with you where you are at, and to find elements that you can use for communion later in the service. And no, they don't have to be confined to bread and wine. You can use whatever you have there at your home. During the prelude, you will have time to retrieve your communion elements and a candle as we prepare to worship. So let us now prepare our hearts to worship the living God.
We continue to accompany Jesus on his journey to the cross. After his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest of the temple in Jerusalem. The other temple priests and the scribes gathered to justify their intentions to kill him. We wouldn't consider what went on as a trial, but witnesses were called for the purpose of accusing Jesus of violations of the religious law. One witness accused Jesus of threatening to destroy the temple and then to raise it in 3 days. What that witness didn't understand was that Jesus had predicted his own death and his resurrection that would follow on the third day. When the high priest asked if Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer." In other words, there was no reason for Jesus to plead his case because he wouldn't be believed anyway. Jesus did, however, claim that he would soon be seated at the right hand of God. The high priest reacted with an angry outburst, calling Jesus' words blasphemy.
Jesus was then taken to King Herod, who had heard about Jesus and was curious about seeing Jesus perform a miracle in front of him. The high priest and scribes declared to the king the charges against Jesus. When Jesus refused to defend himself, Herod mocked him and sent him on to the Roman governor named Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of the Jews. Jesus neither confirmed nor denied it. The scribes and chief priests argued their charges against Jesus. Jesus, knowing that it was futile to defend himself, remained silent. In the end, the jury of this so-called trial was a mob stirred up by the high priest and the scribes. They cried out to Pilate to have Jesus crucified, and Pilate relented and sentenced him to death by crucifixion. The trial of Jesus was the result of the religious authorities' jealousy and fear of the loss of their power over the people. Little did those authorities know that rather than eliminating Jesus, he would be resurrected from the dead, and the Spirit would empower his followers to spread his message throughout the world. Today, we have placed the scales of justice upon the steps to the cross to remind us of the trial of Jesus, which led to his death.
Ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in God's excellent word. What more can be said than to you God has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, desert to its foes, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, never forsake.
To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Trusting in the Spirit of our God, let us confess our sins. O Lord, if you held our sin against us, who could live? Who could stand? We seem to have more faith in death than hope in your promise of life. We seek peace through war and find security in weapons. We abandon the hungry, the sick, and dying, and pursue wealth by making others poor. And even so, you love us. Still, there is forgiveness with you. Therefore, we worship you, for you alone, O Lord, can save us from death and redeem us from our sins. Amen. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If Jesus Christ dwells in you, the Spirit of God will be your life, and the grace of God will be your righteousness. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. With all our hearts and minds, let us now pray to our Lord. Dear Father, the world that we know has changed. We are now physically separated one from another. Yet we feel the need to be together to share the burden of this time of pandemic. Yet we cannot be physically present with each other. We want to embrace our brothers and sisters who are struggling or lonely or frightened, but we cannot. We long to laugh together, to cry together, to eat together, to worship you together in one place, but we cannot. We are feeling our way in the dark, trying to be the church, worshiping and praising your name in community. Yet we find ourselves being forced to build community in a new and untried way. Father, give us courage to know that you are leading us. We are your church, the community of faith, that you are with us always. Give us the peace that passeth understanding. Father, we lay all of our concerns before you now. We pray for our teenagers who are home from school and who miss their friends and feel the walls of their homes and their parents closing in on them. We pray for our college students and our young adults whose expectations for their educational experience have so drastically changed and who are dealing with disappointment. We pray for all of our family members who are no longer working and who face economic uncertainty. We pray for the members of our congregation who are going through with their regular lives and in the regular course of events are dealing with loss and mourning loved ones. We pray for all people within institutions because inside there's a necessity of that physical closeness that we're all trying to avoid right now. Everyone in our nursing homes, our prisons, our hospitals. In your mercy, Father, protect them and preserve their good health. We pray for the emotional and spiritual well-being of all people experiencing distress because of this national and international crisis. Yet we have so much for which to give you thanks. We thank you, Father, for all the dedicated people, the nurses, the doctors, law enforcement, firefighters, utility workers, first responders, providers of all of our food and necessary goods and services. We ask you to especially protect their health and their families. We ask for wisdom and protection for all of our government officials who are making decisions for us in this time of crisis. Give us hearts that love so much that we are not overwhelmed by our own troubles, and instead we continue to count the many, many blessings that we receive from your hands. Because you show your love to us, let us show love to our neighbors. Because we are a blessed people, the sheep of your flock, and as your church, we now bow our heads to pray together in the community of faith, the community of your body, the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from the Psalms, the 46th chapter. Invite you to join with me as I read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word of God for the people of God. We are going through a crisis unlike anything that any of us have ever encountered in our lifetimes. It seems as though we are living through one of those disaster movies, but this movie keeps playing hour after hour, day after day, week after week, and probably month after month. Despite the enormous wealth and power and resources and scientific knowledge in this country, we cannot stop this virus from spreading. We've closed our schools, we've closed our businesses, our restaurants, we've canceled sporting events, concerts, stop visiting people in the hospitals and nursing homes. We have hunkered down in our homes trying to be safe, trying to stop the spread of this virus, but it continues to spread and the deaths continue to mount. People's reaction to this crisis have varied. Many people didn't take the danger seriously. It's just another flu. They come around every year during the winter and disappear in the spring. People die from it. That's all it is. Nothing new here. There was an early message that the virus was dangerous only for elderly people. Young, healthy people didn't have to worry about it. And we saw the pictures on TV of those thousands of spring breakers on Clearwater Beach a couple weeks ago. Not worried about the virus. Of course, at their age, they felt pretty invincible. We all did back then. But how many of those young adults went home with the virus and spread it to their families and their communities? Some have responded to the virus with what I would consider unreasonable fear. They rushed to the grocery stores, and before you knew it, the shelves were empty, particularly in the paper goods aisle. But also the hand sanitizers and the sanitary wipes, and the meat sections of the grocery stores were empty. And in their fear and hoarding of all that they could get, of course, they deprived their neighbors of getting what they needed. As someone once said, there's plenty for people's need, but not for people's greed. And some have been afraid of Asian Americans and have disrespected them and treated them with suspicion. And the sales of guns soared 300% a couple weeks ago when the seriousness of the virus became apparent. Are we not called to share with our neighbors and not to shoot them? It makes me wonder what this crisis will show us about ourselves when things really get tough. Are we a country where it is every man and woman for themselves, or a country that loves our neighbors as ourselves? This pandemic has also revealed just how awesome people are in our nation. The dedication of medical professionals has been heroic, working long hours under very stressful conditions, often without the protective equipment that they need for themselves. There are many other groups that are providing services to us. People in the grocery stores, employees of the jails and prisons, nursing home aides, and those wonderful clerks at McDonald's at the drive-through window who always are there with a smile when I buy that Diet Coke for my wife every day. Those are the brave people risking their lives for us. Then there are the creative and thoughtful people. First of all, I want to give a shout out to our teachers and professors who are learning to conduct their classes online. By doing so, they're not only continuing to educate our children, but they're also showing our children that life goes on, even in the midst of adversity, and that when we are resourceful and confident, we can get through these things together. What an important message from our teachers. Someone came up with the idea of putting up Christmas lights outside their homes to bring cheer to others. Frances told me about her neighborhood where they're putting up teddy bears in the windows that the kids can see as they're walking down the streets with their parents. Teens who are in school musical productions that were canceled have posted their performances on YouTube to be seen by their grandparents and by others to enjoy. Even some of our musical professionals like Yo-Yo Ma are giving free concerts online to cheer us and encourage us in this time of stress. Someone in my neighborhood dropped off bags of colored sidewalk chalk, encouraging children to write messages of hope to the neighborhood on their sidewalks. And so I've seen many drawings and many words of encouragement, such as, God is good, God loves you, God helps us. Now, those are not childish messages. Those are indeed messages at the very heart of our faith. God is good. God does love us. And God will help us. The author of Psalm 46 certainly knew those truths as well. So I invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 46 as you follow along with me as we ponder the important message that Psalm 46 has for us in these times in which we face. The psalm begins with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. The word refuge is one of the most important words in the Psalms. The word is used first in chapter 2 of the Psalms, which along with chapter 1 becomes the introduction to the Psalms and provides us with the theme of the Psalms. And we find in chapter 2, verse 12, these words, happy are those who take refuge in God. And in the course of the next 70-some chapters, the word refuge in reference to God is used 23 more times. God is indeed our refuge. Psalm 46 was actually a hymn sung for Jewish worship. And so it was rather fitting that Martin Luther back in the 16th century wrote a hymn based on Psalm 46. He paraphrased it a little bit with his own words, but we know that hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." God is a fortress that protects us, a refuge that shelters us in times of turmoil and danger and uncertainty. And because God is our fortress and refuge, we can put our trust in God. This entire Psalm 46 is an appeal to people, put your trust in God. He has your back. You can count on Him. This psalm assures us that it doesn't matter how bad things get, we can still trust in God. The psalmist proclaims, even in times of natural disasters, and he says, Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. One can just imagine earthquakes and floods, tornadoes like what people experienced this weekend in our country. In the midst of all that, we can still put our trust in God. Even in times of war, God is there with us. The nations are in an uproar, the psalm said. The kingdoms totter. God utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The psalm assures us it doesn't matter how bad things get. We can still place our trust in God. And the Bible assures us that it doesn't matter where we are during the turmoil, for God is there as well. The psalm references the city of Jerusalem, where the temple for the Jews was located. It was the very center of their faith, and it was their understanding that God was especially present there with them in the temple. They experienced God's presence when they went to worship at the temple. But the Jews knew that God was not confined to that temple. Their own history told them that God came to them when they were slaves in Egypt, and God freed them from their slavery. God was with the Jewish people as they traveled through the wilderness. God led them with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud over their heads during the day, protecting them and guiding them. God was not confined to a place. Indeed, God was with them at every place that they went. In 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. And the Jewish people had to understand, well, where do we find God now? He's not with us. We can't worship Him in His temple. They struggled with that. The Christians, they said, we find the presence of God in His Son, Jesus the Christ. The Gospel of John says that He was the Word of God that became flesh and lived among us. Matthew tells us His name was Jesus. That meant Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Perhaps the clearest way that we can see that God is with us in this time of danger and uncertainty is in the selfless service of first responders and medical personnel in hospitals and nursing homes. God is saving people's lives through them, and they are putting their lives on the line to save others, as Jesus gave up his life to save others. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." No greater love is there than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. When the rest of the world is practicing social distancing to avoid the virus, staying healthy at home, these medical heroes are risking their own lives to save others from the virus. They're like those first responders who headed into the Twin Towers on 9/11 when everyone else was heading out for safety. They are the flesh and blood signs that God is with us in our midst. Indeed, God is a very present help in times of trouble through them. Though as people of faith, we place our trust in God in this dangerous time, we know we're not immune from getting sick and even dying. That is the reason we're not all here together in worship. We know we too can get sick. God does not protect us from all suffering, but God does enter into our suffering with us. We see this in Paul's hymn written in Philippians 2. He said, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." God entered into the suffering of human beings when he sent Jesus to be one of us and to be one with us in our suffering to the point of his death on the cross. And those people who enter into the suffering of others who have the virus are the nail-scarred hands of Jesus still at work, saving the world. Paul has given us this promise in the 8th chapter of Romans. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation, including COVID-19, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, as people of faith, we can put our trust in this time and in every time, in God. For God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, for the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
I will. spoken, and in whose death our sins are dead. Look on the heart of sorrow broken, look on the tears of sinners shed, and be thy peace to us the token, that by thy grace our souls are fed.
During a plague in Europe, Julian of Norwich was dying. A priest came to her to give her the last rites. And as he read those rites, he held a crucifix before her. And a very strange thing happened. The crucifix began to bleed. Blood and mucus dripped from Christ like water dripping from the eaves of a house. It was as though Jesus on the cross had taken that plague that had made Julian sick and was taking it upon himself and was shedding it from his body and from hers. Julian was healed from the disease that day by Christ. But the person who had brought her those last rites, who had held that crucifix over her, that priest became ill and later died. It was as though Jesus had died for her through that priest. In the meal of communion, we remember how Jesus sacrificed his own life that we might have forgiveness of sins and live our lives in God. He who gave his life for us is present with us in this meal of remembrance. Let us pray. O merciful God, truly you have entered into the suffering of our lives and the pain and the brokenness that our sins have caused others and ourselves. Heal us, we pray, of our will to sin against others and against you. And live within us as your life flows within us like this bread and wine which becomes a part of our body in this meal. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us now enter a time of silent prayer. Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Seder, the Passover meal. And it was in the context of that meal that was a reminder of how God had liberated their people, their ancestors from slavery, that Jesus brought a new liberation, the liberation from sin. And he took bread that evening, and he broke it, And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant that I make with you in my blood. And as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." Oh God, we give thanks for this bread and for this wine, for the reminders they are of your presence with us and of your incredible love for us that we have seen in the life, the ministry, and the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make us new again, oh God, as we become new creatures in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We invite you to consider your stewardship of the resources that God has given to you. And we hope that you will continue to support your church. If Providence is your church, we hope you support Providence Christian Church. If your membership is another place, we encourage you during this time to support your church with your tithes and your offerings. For your church continues to be the church, whether it can gather together in a sanctuary or not. For we continue to be the church throughout our communities and our neighborhoods as we continue to be neighbors to one another, sharing God's love for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Will you bow with me in prayer? O Lord, our God, you have blessed us in so many ways, and we pray that in the midst of this crisis, we may not lose sight of those blessings. We pray that in the midst of people hoarding things, that we might be the people who share with others. In this time in which people become afraid of each other, that we might still be filled with love with one another and kindness and thoughtfulness to each other. Thank you, God, for the resources that you have given us. And we pray that we might use those resources for your work through the church, as well as other ways in which we can reach out with our resources, with the kindness and love of Jesus Christ in all that we do and all that we say. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Past and gone, stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And now may we go forth this week, knowing the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May we know that the God of Jacob is with us, now and forevermore. Amen.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore His sacred name.